Legendary musician David Crosby has died. He was the founding member of The Byrds and Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. He influenced scores of singer-songwriters. Crosby helped shape rock music with powerful harmonies and a sound that blended elements of folk, pop, country, and psychedelia. The two-time Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee was 81 years old. It was just last year that Crosby said he was done performing live, saying he was too old to do it anymore, and that he didn't have the stamina or the strength. Crosby's passing came after a long illness. NPR's Eric Westervelt has this appreciation.
In the late 1960s and early 70s rock era, dominated by either heavy electric guitar gods or meandering psychedelia, David Crosby and his friends took a very different path.
I am yours, you are mine, you are what you are. Give me a gift.
Crosby, Stills, and Nash at times would soar with electric jams, but their foundation was a unique California sound built on harmonies, acoustic guitars, and a dose of self-awareness often missing in rock lyrics. Exactly where in L.A.'s Laurel Canyon Crosby, Stills, and Nash first sang together is still debated, lost in a smoky haze. But Crosby told me in a 2019 interview, that night, they all realized they had something special.
Crosby, Stills, and Nash knew right away. As soon as we sang one of Stephen's songs, you know, he's a great songwriter. As soon as Nash put in the top part, we said, oh, yeah, okay, that's what I'll be doing for a while.
Crosby, Stills, and Nash's 1969 self-titled debut album was a huge critical and commercial success. America's first rock supergroup was born.
They are one person, they are two alone, they are three together, they are four each other.
The group grew out of three successful bands that were imploding. Graham Nash wanted out of the pop rock group The Hollies, Stephen Stills and Neil Young had departed the Buffalo Springfield, and Crosby had just been kicked out of The Byrds. Crosby, Stills and Nash's second live show ever was in front of nearly 500,000 people at Woodstock. They soon toured the U.S. to sold-out shows.
Speak your mind now, yeah. That is if you still can and you're still dare.
The band regularly spoke and sang out against the Vietnam War, political repression, and other issues. In the summer of 1969, the group added friend Neil Young. And in 1970, the newly expanded CSNY released the album Deja Vu, an unbridled masterpiece. Crosby wrote and sang lead vocals on the title track. Crosby's career started in Los Angeles, where he was born. His first big band was The Byrds. The group found success covering folk classics and later peaked with the psychedelic-infused hit 8 Miles High.
8 miles high, and when you touch down, you'll find that it's stranger than known.
Crosby's offstage excesses and antics soon made him into something of a larger-than-life folk hero. But the Crosby myth would run hard into the reality that he'd become incredibly difficult to deal with and a drug addict. The fights, creative and personal, within Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young are legendary. Crosby had started using heroin after a girlfriend was killed in a car crash. He would add copious amounts of cocaine, often freebasing the drug, and began a long, slow spiral. Crosby told me famous friends, including Nash and Jackson Browne, attempted interventions.
That didn't work either. There's a certain moment that you have when you know you just simply can't go on. You can't go any further down that road. In the meetings, they tell you it's a moment of clarity. Whatever you want to call it, there is a moment.
Crosby's moment came with the help of a Texas prison. Drug-addled, paranoid, and facing multiple weapons and drug violations, Crosby hid out on his sailboat in South Florida before turning himself into the West Palm Beach FBI office. He was later sentenced to 5 years on drugs and weapons charges, but did less than a year. He kicked heroin during 5 months behind bars in Texas.
Going to prison worked. I don't recommend it. It's a hard way to kick. They laughed at me and thought I was funny. Hey, rock star, how are you now?
We were riding back, you have our built party. Celebrate the ride of the train.
But even after he got off hard drugs, those that knew him say there was still a core conflict. Crosby's creative brilliance, humor, and spark often mixed with equal doses of arrogance, egomania, and hubris that alienated some of those closest to him.
All the main guys that I made music with won't even talk to me. All of them.
That's Crosby in writer and filmmaker Cameron Crowe's documentary, Remember My Name. When it came out, I asked Crosby about how once good friends who made great music together could end up so estranged.
So it was a fully competitive band, and we were competing all the time, the whole time. And we were horrible to each other, many, many times, all of us. In spite of that, we made some incredible music. And I don't have any bad feelings in my heart about any of those guys. But I really can't stand around waiting to have a therapy session. In the 5 minutes I got to play a song.
Crosby's final years were filled with lots of new songs despite health setbacks. Crosby recorded multiple solo albums and toured with groups of younger musicians, including the Lighthouse Band, here performing for NPR's Tiny Desk Concert Series.
Look in his eyes, see him in the dark. What will you find? Without a light, without a spark. Look in his eyes and see the
When the documentary about Crosby came out, he told me he's at peace with who he'd become, despite the burned bridges and lost friends. I've hurt a lot of people, he said, adding, I've helped a lot more.
You know, if you used to be a junkie, you spent all your time thinking how awful you were. So the feeling of being able to look at myself now and be proud of myself, oh boy, that's a big deal.
Eric Westervelt, NPR News.
If I had ever been it before, I would probably know just what to do.